You know, a lot of times when we study the Word of God, we're looking for formulas. I know I am. If I can just find some steps, if I can just get some directions with some hints as to how to begin to see results, how to begin to know Him better. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But if you move too far in that direction, you treat your life with God like a formula, like some kind of a book that's got to be read and obeyed. And you can miss the relationship. You can miss the relationship. And today I want to entitle my message, I Give You Jesus. I Give You Jesus. When Jesus walked the planet, He would teach the Word of God to people. And He would always talk about things like the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near you. He would pray with people, and when they got a miracle, majority of the time, He would say, and the rest of the time, Bible scholars say it is understood, He would say, go your way, your faith has made you whole. And even though they were not a born-again, born-of-the-Spirit person, their spirit man was still dead on the inside, no life from Christ. He had not died yet. The miraculous would come into their lives. And so often we pattern ourselves after the things that went on and how Jesus did things, and I think that's good. But we've got to remember that today, with the life that you and I have, that Jesus is within us. And if you want to know the best place to look to get an understanding of how we walk with Jesus, how we talk with Jesus, you look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the men that Jesus trained and equipped going out into a world and using the knowledge, the wisdom, using the things that Jesus taught them, but most of all, and here's where a lot of people miss it, giving people Jesus. Giving them Jesus. One of the first miracles in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4 is when Peter walks by a gate where there's a crippled man. And he asks for money. Peter says, I've got any on me. But what I have, I give you. Now, this is a different way to minister to somebody. We don't find those words being used in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What I have, I give you. It was just we would talk, they would teach about the kingdom being near. And then as they opened up and believed, their faith would be reckoned unto them as righteousness, and the presence of God would touch them. But now we've got Peter, and he says, what I have, I give you. And he reaches out and he grabs this man's hand and he pulls him to his feet, and he walks and he jumps and he leaps. And there's a word later on, if you'll study this out, these chapters, they're asking him, how did this happen? And he talks about a faith that, and now he is zeroing in more than ever before as to how this faith works. He says, this faith is in the name of Jesus. Other times the Bible alludes to a faith that rises up in you and I that is like it's Christ's faith that is within us. So many people will say to me, I just don't know if I have the faith. And they keep talking about how much faith they have. And I believe last Sunday or the Sunday before, I just touched this point that it's not about how much faith you have. It is about what you believe. And here is where people do not push in and understand the life of Jesus is in you. From the book of Acts and on is completely different in the area of prayer and ministry than the transitional books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the Old Covenant books of the Old Testament. This is as never before. This is a mystery that has been prophesied by prophets of old. This is a prophecy that starts right with God himself. That this mystery in Colossians chapter 1, where Paul says the mystery is Christ within you. Then he goes on to say, and this power works in me mightily. He's working mightily, but by this power that is within him. And yet today, as I train, equip pastors, leaders, preach to our own people, talk with people in the midst of crises and emergencies, in the midst of an emergency, people, they begin to opt out of understanding this new life. And you'll hear terms and prayer like, Father, please heal me, waiting for him to make a move, showing they don't believe right. That's not how we pray today. We are not requesting, as in begging a God, to make a decision on healing. Everything about the cross and on that makes Jesus so special is that he died on a cross for you and took your sin, your punishment, and the curse. He arose again, and in his resurrection, he gives you a new life that you can choose. And when you choose Jesus, he ignites your human spirit. And it becomes alive. With what? With Jesus. His peace. His joy. His direction. His faith. Everything about Jesus is within you. And so when God directs you towards something, and you say something like, well, I don't know if I have the faith to do that. Yeah, you don't. If you're talking about some kind of a faith that makes it all happen, because Jesus made it all happen. And until you understand that, and until you begin to treat Jesus as this revelation, this relationship, and you treat his word as something you need to get into, you'll always be a Christian trying. I was like that. I was always a Christian trying. I was trying to get healed, trying to rise up, trying to make a marriage work, trying to be a good father, trying to be a good pastor, trying to get people miracles. And in this trying, I didn't realize that there was such doubt that was rising up. And I didn't need more faith. Because we somehow have got this thing twisted in our mind of, I need more excitement, I need more passion, I need more belief, but we see this as some kind of a container or a graph where the faith level goes higher and higher and higher. And that's not what the Word of God is bringing out. It's bringing out, what do you believe about Jesus? What do you know about Jesus? Which is why truth sets you free. Do you understand the cross? Do you understand this Jesus on the inside of you? The Bible uses different things about Jesus, like he is the bread of life. The bread of life. Well, what does that mean? That means that when you partake of Jesus, energy, sustenance, strength, aliveness begins to flow in you as never before. And his word, Jesus, and his word, he talks about him being the Logos, the Word of God. And yet we treat the Bible like it's some other book. I'm shocked at the pastors on the planet who are looking at New Age techniques and psychological issues over here and trying to, I don't mind them using the language to bring clarity to Jesus, but to look for other ways to set people free because Jesus doesn't have it is just doubt and unbelief. And the Bible's very clear that the reason God's people in the Old Testament coming out of Egypt did not walk into the promised land is because they of their unbelief. And so how do you begin to deal with all the dangling chads, the things that you don't know? When people ask me, why didn't Jesus heal me? I tell them, because you don't understand the truth about healing. Oh, yes, no, you don't. The question shows me you don't understand it. It's not why didn't he, because he did. and he deposited it within you, all that you're ever going to need. He's given you all things that pertain to your life, to live godly, to walk in blessing and the power of Jesus in your life. And it's all in him. You're looking for a formula. You're looking, trying to rev yourself up. But you won't even spend the time to get into his word. And this book is alive. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And then you'll say, yeah, but I kind of get lost. I get bored. That scares me. It shows a person who, you know, if you and I were going somewhere together, you'd kind of be this half-baked attempt. If I fell over a cliff or something went wrong in my life, yeah, I tried, but we couldn't help Leon. I want someone who doesn't try, but they enter in, they push in. And I'm going to challenge you this year that you have a choice. You can live like the rest of the world that goes, I'm wondering what will happen. I don't wonder. I declare. I don't begin to hope and pray. I declare. I pray, intercede. I get a hold of God's word and declare that what's going to go on in my life is according to God's will for my life. And I know what his will is in a very general way. It is to succeed in faith. It is to walk in health. It is to walk in blessing. It is to reach out and to represent Christ. It is to bring glory to God. It is to live with a peace and a joy that the world does not know. I am not worried that this year, it's so just hoping it's just not going to be a whole lot more pain. Yes, the world's got stuff. Yes, there's heartache. Yes, there's storms. But did you understand that in this life, you need to stay focused on Christ? And that is when the miraculous of walking on water, speaking to mountains, this is where you can walk through the things that are going on this planet rather than being this victim. One of my pet peeves, give Jesus a hand, amen. One of my pet peeves at some churches that I'll go to speak at is the way they worship. Every song is about Jesus. And so people who, you know, and so I'm going to be very blunt about some things. Often people towards the end of careers, the end of their lives, they kind of like that. But young people who are growing up and they want to succeed in business, they want a great, exciting marriage and a sex life and raise kids, they want to know how to get up and really live. They're not looking for a worship service that represents God as everybody here's begging. They're going like, ooh, man, like, is there victory anywhere in Jesus? Is there any kind of a life in Jesus? Is there something that I can just trust and believe and get up? And he's not just going to be there when I call, but he's going to be there helping me to succeed and to rise up and to be the husband I want to be, the father I want to be, the financier I want to be. He's going to help me solve problems. The Bible says in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything about computers, everything about space travel, everything is hidden in Christ. Say, well, Leon, what you talking about? You think God made the universe and didn't know the human race is going to put a rocket to the moon? You think he doesn't understand satellites? You didn't think he didn't bury a satellite in that mountain full of ore and watch as mankind begin to grow in knowledge and wisdom and understand flight and understand all these things? You don't think he understood? You don't think that the most brilliant man that ever walked the planet, whoever that is, Einstein or whoever, that he's got even a drop in the ocean compared to the wisdom of God on every science, every spiritual thing going on? Yes, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty to walk in health. Liberty to be wise. Liberty to rise up and make decisions, liberty to get up and live like you've never lived before. It's where the presence of God is. And so this year, I'm going to challenge you. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Or are you going to just keep waiting, saying, give me 4 points to healing, 3 points to peace, 2 points to joy, 8 points to a great sex life, 7 points. There's great stuff in God's word about that. All of that. But if you don't treasure Jesus, then your Christian faith is just transactional. What kind of a transaction can me and Jesus do today? And I'm so glad that all of the promises are yes and amen in him. I'm so glad that I can look to the future and with confidence know that God is with me. And that as we walk, we can walk through the valleys of the shadow of death. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, lying, shooting, backstabbing, you know, speaking. None of it affects me because I am following Jesus. I'm with Jesus. And John 10 says, He leads me by name. By name. Jesus. This Jesus didn't come to this planet to give us another religion, to give us another whole code of conduct. He came to give us a relationship. And I often tell people, worse than the sin you do is all the self-righteous things you do trying to earn God's grace. All these Christians who judge and look and the world's the same, by the way. The world's the most judgmental thing you can ever imagine. But Jesus, in God's Word, and I've been quoting a whole bunch of verses for you, but let me just read you a verse here. It says, For who, in 1 Corinthians 2:16 in the Amplified, for who has known or understood the mind, the counsels, and the purposes of the Lord, as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and we hold the thoughts, the feelings, and the purposes of his heart. Can I talk to you about that for a minute? To have the mind of Christ, to have his thoughts, his feelings, his purposes. Life is short, and our purpose is to bring glory to Jesus. Not number one is to make money. Our purpose is to know him, not to whatever the miracle is that you're seeking for. And with all of the teachings in the charismatic world, the faith world, and all the beautiful promises that have been given to us, they can be so exciting. And when you live in your world, you're always looking for which promise that you're needing this month. But I wonder sometimes if you just want to fellowship with Jesus, if you just want to get into the Word and get to know who He is, what He has done. Anytime you begin to feel low, anytime you begin to feel empty, anytime you begin to feel like, well, who am I and what's my life about? Your mind is set on the things of the flesh and not of the things of the Spirit. And it will bring death into your life because death is a continuum. You've got to lift up your head by looking into His Word and finding out who you are in Christ and then beginning to recognize what He has done from the cross, His death, His burial, His resurrection with new life for you, His ascension to the right hand of the Father. All authority, all power is in Jesus and He's in you. Pick any of the Old Testament prophets, kings, high priests, and you have to understand, none of them have what you have. None of them knew Christ like you can know Christ. Are we just transactional? By that I mean, are we always just trying to make a transaction with the presence of God where, okay, we're working through some healing in this one, we're working through some prosperity, working through my marriage issues, working through this. Good. But maybe if you would seek first this kingdom that Jesus has provided through what he did on the cross and begin to fall in love with Jesus, your life would have such purpose. You would find that when you seek first the kingdom of God, all the things you're worried about begin to take place in your life. Easy. And when we begin to understand this, there's an interesting teaching that Jesus makes in John chapter 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If any remain and abide in me, I remain and abide in them. They produce much fruit, not periodical, much fruit. But without and apart from me, they can do nothing. I think we need to understand as Christians that when you begin to move away from Jesus and treat the Bible as simple, wise steps, like so much of the world does, that you begin to move away from Jesus. It says Jesus is the root. We are the branches. He goes on to say that you should produce much fruit and show that you are my followers and bring glory to my Father. In Deuteronomy 30:19, it's laid out so simply, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. I challenge you, starting today, to begin to look into Jesus. The Old Testament prophesies about him and that there was going to come a race of people. This race wasn't determined by the color of their skin. This race wasn't going to be determined by the language of their mouth, whether they were speaking Spanish or English. This was going to be a group of people who the mystery of the gospel was going to be revealed as Christ came into their lives and their hearts, and something changed. You have a choice. Trying to land this plane and I want to keep going. You have a choice to simply look at the Bible as a wise book and find answers. And oh, I'm telling you, it's incredible. But doesn't touch for a moment knowing Jesus. When my heart begins to get filled full of fear and worry as I look at the millions of dollars we've got to raise, when things begin to rise up and push at us, you know, and when my heart begins to be filled with fear or worry, or I find myself getting stressed out, I know that I have taken my eyes off of the Jesus within me who provides all that I need. And I've begun to look at the Leon who can't do anything. It's a quick trip to one messed up afternoon is to get my eyes off of this Jesus. But I find that when I get back into his word, I love his word, and I begin to recognize he's already done this. People ask me, you know, how much do you pray? And they'll talk about things like intercessory prayer, and they're begging and pleading with God to pull down the brass skies, to please bring healing into my family. Please give me more love. Oh, God, please give me more. Please, oh, Jesus, please heal my marriage. Oh, God, all of these prayers are just useless. Because everything that you're asking for has already been done in Christ. Every promise that Jesus died for and qualified you for is yours. I'll tell you how I pray. If I look around somewhere and I see things not going the direction that I want, I don't run to God. The majority of my prayers aren't, God, they're beginning to look at his promises and to thank him and to begin to declare what his word already says. The Bible's very clear that we don't pray from a position of have not. We pray from a position of have. We pray from a position of I own. And so if all of a sudden I'm seeing something push in an area, I begin to, Father, I want to thank you right now for what Jesus did on the cross, because health and healing are mine. I own and possess them because they were given to me freely by Jesus Christ. I want to thank you. The favor of God is upon me and everything works out for my good because Jesus is within me. I put my trust in him. And I know that although I can't control all the things going on, it's all going to work out for my good because that's the promise of the word. Father, this is how I pray. So people often go, well, how do you pray? I pray the word in a thankfulness. The Bible says that we should know Jesus, know the word, and daily be overflowing with thankfulness. Because prayer is not from a position of, prayer is from a position of, I am in Christ. And because I am in Christ, who does sickness think it is? I am in Christ. Who does that fallen angel Lucifer think he is? I am in Christ. What does poverty even think it can do in my life? I am in Christ. And all the promises are yes and amen. So I don't get up begging, because that prayer brings doubt and unbelief into your life. You are praying from a position of, that's like you going home, finding someone else in your house and going, please leave. Are you kidding me? I'm going to throw that guy out. If I don't have enough power, I'm going to call the police, and together we're going to throw him out because I own that house. And this is the same way you need to recognize the word of God. And When you struggle in this area of faith, you struggle in any area of your life, recognize that in the midst of that struggle and that storm, the prayers that you pray are to begin to find the promises in the New Testament first as to who Jesus is, what he has done. And when the enemy brings up your past, when he says you haven't been good enough, that you've done things that have brought this upon you, and all of the stuff that makes you feel like it's got a right to be there, you must rise up and declare who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Jesus went to the cross for me. He took every sin for me, past and future. I walk in the favor of God. I thank you right now, Lord, that the enemy has been stripped of his power, stripped of his authority. So I'm not worrying about him. I'm just choosing life. Because if you choose nothing by default, you're going down the same river with all the rest of the limp fish. But the direction that you choose is done through thankfully praying his word and knowing whose you are, knowing what Jesus has done. This confidence begins to rise up on the inside of you. And I'm telling you, I'm hard-pressed to find churches that I go into where people begin to believe this way. They're all bawling and squalling and asking and begging. And I'm saying, who are you? You are praying Old Testament prayers, seeking for God's mercy when Jesus already, through his faith, went to the cross, took everything, prepared a life for you and I, said that we can have his mind, his emotions, his purposes, said that every promise has been qualified for you and I. Why are you praying from a position of defeat? I said, well, Leon, I am sick. I don't care how much you're sneezing, coughing, or what the doctors say. Even then, when you pray and the symptoms all over the place are saying that you're sick, that your body is dying, you still don't beg God to heal you. You get up from this position of who you are and what Christ has done, and you begin to praise him and thank him. This new covenant is a covenant of rest. It says, labor to enter the rest. Now, this labor is not a begging and a pleading. This labor is a fight to stay in faith. To stay in what? To stay in Christ. To recognize whose you are. To recognize what has been paid for you. And get up and begin to worship him. And to declare that. And begin to say, thank you, Jesus. Health is mine. Thank you, Jesus. What he did on the cross is here for this. For my career. For my kids. For all these things. It's the goodness of God that is upon my life. Everywhere I go, the favor of God. Already with our grandkids, we're teaching them, you know, something will happen. And the other day, I think it was one of the grandkids was going in the back seat with their parents through a Tim Hortons. They can bleep this out later if I can't quote the business. And some grandma, I think, was behind the till. And as she watches him goes by, she motions at Sloan and she hands her a free Timbits package. And her eyeballs are this big. She cannot believe that mommy was getting a tea and the lady hands her a free package of Timbits. And I just told her, God's favor is all over you. Good things are going to happen to you for the rest of your life. God loves you. Just use every little example you can to let people know the goodness of God, the love of God, the favor of God, that God's blessing is upon you everywhere you go. The Bible says you can pray that even your enemies are at peace with you. Why aren't we just thankfully praising and praying the word with an overflow of what Jesus has done? Here is where the power lies. Not the begging, the bugging, the bawling, the squalling, as to what's wrong with my life, and beginning to give the enemy the credit. Every time something happens to me that's negative, someone will say, oh, the devil was on your case. I go, nah, that was just life. A baseball hit me. That was a devil. Nah, I was just playing baseball and getting too close to the batter. I never give him credit for anything that's going wrong in my life. Just empower him right up. The devil, the devil, the devil, fallen angel. Life's just got stuff. Well, I got into two accidents. Well, take a defensive driving course. Why are we giving the devil so much power as though he's doing all? No, life's got stuff. Well, I had one hell of a bad year. Yes, but you're going to give the devil the credit for that? Is he really that power? He can bend your car. He can move semis. No, he can't. But Christians love to sing songs, oh, Jesus, Jesus. And the world's looking at this going, you know, does Jesus help us? Does he give us life? Does he help me rise up with joy? And yes, he does. Jesus, I've come to give you life and more abundantly. My time is up. This year, change your praying. Get to know Jesus. Get into his word. Let's make it happen. Amen. Father, today I thank you that the Jesus that came to this planet came to give us a life even before we get to heaven. And I pray that there be a confidence, a joy that rises up within us as we wonderfully look to your word and see that he has done it all. It simply requires from me a choosing life, thanking you, praising you for what you've already done, and that the grace of God begins to flow in every area of our lives. I pray that that person who has been begging and pleading and maybe even on the brink of losing something like their life or a business or something precious, that they would back away from this desire to be self-righteous and to do something to make it happen, and just be thankful that Jesus did all that was required to make every miracle happen. And in that thanksgiving and praise, we can rest in the peace of God and know that our requests were provided for 2,000 years ago. So we pray from a position of strength. I pray that that would enter their hearts today. And I'm standing in agreement with every person under the sound of my voice that this year is going to be the best they've ever had. This year is going to be filled with the favor of God, answered prayer, and promises erupting in every area of their lives. That, Father, we're not giving the devil a bunch of credit that he doesn't have. We're going to just keep our eyes on you. Father, I call it done. Guide us here at Springs, the Miracle Channel, our school, all the things that you are going to be doing with us this year to get up and believe that we're going to be counted. We're going to get a harvest off for heaven. We're going to impact this nation and the world. And, Father, every person in this church is going to see the goodness of God in every area of their private life. We declare it. We thank you for it. We know it's been paid for by Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen. Amen.